Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Welcome to Seek Reality, my dear friends. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I am so glad you can be with us today. Our guest today is really delightful, and he's working in the same field I'm working in, so that's fun for me. Not many of us dare to venture there. But he's one of the most successful American mediums. His name is Mark Anthony, and he's going to be featured at the Afterlife Research and Education Institute Symposium, September 15 to 17 of 2017 in Scottsdale. It's coming right up, Mark. He's an expert in the field of afterlife communication, and he's interested now in working to explain how afterlife communication actually works, which is fascinating. His book on this subject and on other subjects, too, is Evidence of Eternity, and it's great. I'm looking forward to comparing notes with him on what he's learning now about the physics of the greater reality as it relates to afterlife communication. This is a very big field of interest, and it really is a whole new science. So welcome, Mark. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Thank you, Roberta. It's always fun working with you, and I enjoy that lawyers can actually be spiritual, contrary to popular belief.
In fact, when we do spiritual, we get real serious into it, don't we? We don't do anything lightly. That's
no,
for
sure. We don't.
Let's begin by telling people a little about your history. You've been a guest here before, but some of them may not have heard you. Interview. Am I remembering this correctly? You had ancestors who also were had psychic abilities. Is that right?
Yes, on both sides of the family, including both of my parents. My mother, who's crossed to the other side, she was a very gifted psychic medium. And then my dad, who he's alive, but he's very, very ill now. He's also a medium. And then it runs back to the late 1890s,
Far
as I can research. So I'm assuming, Roberta, it goes farther than that.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, it's hard to find that. In fact, last year, I think it was either last year or the year before, PBS did a special, The Italian American. So my mother's family is of Italian descent. And my mother's grandmother, who would be my maternal great-grandmother, her name was Giovanna, and she was very, very psychic and was known in the Italian-American community as the woman who knew things, and she was actually featured in the PBS special. They did a segment on her and even referenced her psychic abilities.
Well, I think it's interesting to point out, and I'd just like to say this quickly, that many people who have Mark's abilities can trace them back the way you can, Mark. It really does seem to be something that's genetic and runs in families. So you're blessed to get it on both sides. That's why you're so very good. There are a lot of ways we could sort of take this, and I think we won't have time to cover everything I'd like to. But you say in your book, Evidence of Eternity, that you can bring spirit communication into the 21st century. And how are you doing that? Is this by what you're saying, going into the scientific aspect of it, right?
Yes, it is, because spirit communication has existed for thousands of years. I mean, since the time of the Egyptian pharaohs and the ancient Hindus, the ancient Egyptians, there have been, in fact, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there are stories of people who can communicate with spirits. And then in the mid-19th century, around between 1850 through the early 1900s, was sort of the golden age of spiritualism, where spiritualism as a religion stepped forward. And the terminology describing spirit communication, psychic phenomenon, was pretty much coined in the Victorian era, and there it remained. And so I've been studying this phenomenon my entire life and realizing that it's based on science.
Has to be science, exactly.
Yes.
Right, because otherwise, I mean, we know nothing is magic. people thought everything, at one point thought everything was magic because nobody knew anything about science, and gradually we filled it all in. So what you're doing is wonderful by showing people that this sort of last frontier is science-based too. I think that's just terrific.
Right. So what I did is finding that it's based on science, quantum physics, human physiology. And so I studied that and then redefined the terms on the basis of current technology instead of referring to it in arcane 19th century terms.
Yes, very, very good. Yeah, thank you for that. So you begin, and we're coming up on a break, so I don't want to sort of cut you off about this, but just quickly, you say that your being a lawyer has helped you, right? That's to begin to understand this. Is that because of the cases you've done?
Well, that's part of it. My specialization in civil law was personal injury, with particular emphasis on brain injury and head injury. So
right.
I studied the human brain and found that there is a physiological reason for spirit communication.
Wow. One of my favorite people, of course, as it should be, of everybody's favorite person, is Albert Einstein. And you point out that he said we're all beings of light. What do you mean by that? What did he mean?
Well, Einstein was the first physicist who kind of cracked the code of light and introduced it as both a particle and as a wave.
Right.
But what we have seen and what we now know is that life as we know it depends on light. Everything from the plants that we eat, which derive their nutrients from photosynthesis, to the animals we eat that eat the plants, the fact that our planet is not a frozen chunk of ice floating aimlessly through
space. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well,
yes.
It is. I mean, and we're recording this during the solar eclipse, which is even cooler, that
right.
We're talking about this now.
Right.
And, it's great because in Florida, I walked outside during the height of the eclipse, and it was cooler because we weren't getting the full blast of the sun. All my neighbors
right.
came out, and they go, wow, this is really great. We need to be able to do this in August more often.
Yeah. But that's arranged to have it happen every year, yes.
But we even know that our moods are dependent upon light. There's this city in the Arctic Circle in Canada, I think it's in Inuvik, and there's 2 months out of the year, January and February, where there's no light whatsoever. The suicide rate is off the scale. More alcohol is purchased and consumed per capita than anywhere else in the world. And then there's 2 months out of the year, I think it's July and August, where it's all sunshine. Virtually no alcohol is sold, and it's a very, very happy place.
Yes.
So our body responds to light. And we've now found that within our bodies, our individual cells emit flashes of light. And this isn't bioluminescence. This isn't what fireflies do, which is a chemical reaction. This is ultra low-level flashes of light.
Wow.
And what is known as biophotons. Now, what's fascinating, Roberta, is biophotons are how our cells communicate. They communicate using these rapid flashes up to 100,000 per minute, the same way a computer uses to send binary data. And so it appears that biophotons are a phenomenon of all living systems. So
wow.
Einstein was even more correct than he knew, because not only is our life dependent on light, but our body itself actually produces light. And this answers a question that doctors and scientists have had for centuries, is how does the body know things so quickly? In other words, you drop a bowling ball on your foot and immediately you know that it hurts, because
yes.
that message is moving at the speed of light.
Ha, fascinating. And so what are biophotons then? That's the kind of light that the cells emit?
Exactly. And see, in my book, Evidence of Eternity, I talk about enlightenment. And of course, I know you do, and everybody in our field who engages in spirituality. I mean, you always hear about Hindus and Buddhists meditating to find
right.
And, the story of Jesus going into the wilderness and he finds the enlightenment and overcoming the temptations. And
right.
so enlightenment is not just of a spiritual nature. It's also wisdom, learning. In other words, the ignorance of darkness is now overcome by the light of intelligence. But now we're finding out the so-called inner light, the light within, is more than just a metaphor. It's an actual function of our cells, which are emitting these flashes of light. And we do know that light can, certainly it is energy, it's vibration, and now we know it contains information. So think of our body not as just a blob of flesh and water, but as a being of light that uses this internal light system, these biophotons, to communicate within itself.
Wow. Can they see this light? I mean, this happening, and if they look at living cells, can they see the light? Is it something you can see? Or do they have to detect it?
That's why it's been so elusive. Actually, the Russians discovered it back in the 1920s, and then recently it's been rediscovered because of technology. You need something more powerful than a regular microscope to see this. So it's like little teeny flashes, little photons of light, which are emitting and interacting between cells. So I don't know if you need something as intense as an electron microscope, but pretty close.
Okay, that's fascinating to me. Now, what about the pineal gland? Because you have things to say about that too. And I'm fascinated by this because someone taught me that you can throw light from this place between your eyes and above your eyes, where I think that's where the gland is, and use it to actually surround and protect people. And I'm not at all psychic, but I think it's actually worked when I've done that. So it freaks me out a little bit.
It shouldn't, because the pineal gland is a very mysterious pea-sized, lima bean-sized gland about 4 inches behind the center of our forehead. So for the listeners who are familiar with yoga, it's the proverbial third eye chakra. It's in the middle of your forehead. And it should be called the third eye chakra because this particular gland, very, very complicated, very mysterious, and it's still being studied. One of the many things that it does is it regulates our ability to perceive light. Now, now it's not so mysterious, is it?
It all starts to fit. Isn't that fascinating?
It all starts to fit. And the pineal gland, also recent British discoveries have found that there are calcite and magnetite crystals in it. Now, I had a lengthy discussion with my colleague, whom I will be happy to call my friend, Dr. Evan Alexander. And I was just at the International Association of Near-Death Studies. I was one of the speakers, as he was. And we were talking about the pineal gland, and he was saying that the conventional wisdom in the scientific community is that it does not generate an electrical field. However, there are studies in Britain, Israel, France, and Germany which have indicated that the calcite and magnetite crystals within the pineal gland possess what are known as piezoelectric properties. In other words, when these crystals are subjected to physical stress, they generate an electromagnetic field. And the pineal, and the pineal gland also appears to regulate brainwave frequency. So when people like myself, mediums, are communicating with the other side, what I'm doing is enhancing my brainwave frequency. Spirits are able to slow theirs down, and then we get a frequency match. So essentially, the pineal gland is a radio station in our head.
That's amazing. Well, that would explain why it might be something that's genetic, because there might be some faculty of the pineal gland that makes it much easier for you to communicate that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, we do know that certain there's a reason people look like their parents. I mean, that's genetics.
Right.
Left-handedness, certain diseases run in families, intelligence runs in families, and the number of axons. Think of axons in your brains, the wiring. Intelligent people have more axons in their brain than people on a lower intelligence curve. And so perhaps people with psychic abilities, maybe we have an extra magnetite or calcite crystal in the pineal gland.
Isn't that fascinating? Is there anything else you think that's different physically in someone like you with these extraordinary abilities?
Well, we tend to be hypersensitive, and as I am constantly reminded by family members, well, what it is, it's not that I'm high maintenance.
No, for sure.
Not at all. But we tend to be not only emotionally sensitive, but sensitive to heat, to light, to sound, to vibration. I had a friend that was a realtor, and she always used to crack up. She said, if I wanted to know if a property had sick building syndrome, just bring Mark along, because if I walk into a place with lots of mold in the air, within 30 seconds my throat swells up and I start coughing and choking. So we have this ambient sensitivity, which makes sense because that hypersensitivity is what enables us to be sensitive to the higher frequencies, which you and I refer to as the other side.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so let's see if we can bring science into this. Have scientists made any discoveries that are bringing them closer to understanding the spiritual aspects of reality? Maybe with using light this way, do they get anything still? Because it's frustrating to me that they don't get a blessed thing, and you seem a lot more optimistic about it. So I'd love to hear words of hope from you.
Well, what we're now seeing, Roberta, is in the physics community. Physicists are beginning to say that eternal life and the laws of physics are in conformity. Mm-hmm. And because energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. And then in the field of survival of consciousness and near-death experience studies, which is started by Dr. Raymond Moody, who's just a fantastic person.
I'm proud
to call him my friend. And Dr. Jeffrey Long. Jeff Long is incredible. He just he founded the NDERF, the National Research of Near-Death Experience Foundation, and then Dr. Kenneth Ring. So you've got these three amazing scientists who have applied the scientific method of observation and analytical observation to survival of consciousness. And so, long story short, what the consensus is in the NDE, near-death experience community, and beginning to take hold in the physics community, is that the consciousness, who and what we are, our spirit, our soul, our self-identity, is not created by the brain, but is merely housed in the brain. And if you look at the brain like a computer hard drive, when the hard drive crashes, the data gets uploaded to the cloud or, to a thumb drive.
Right.
But the data stays intact. Same thing. The soul stays coherent after physical death.
What I tell people is that your brain is no more than a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. That's how I view it. But this is what's wonderful, and I hope everyone is paying attention to this fact. Mark and I have never discussed any of this before. I mean, I know him only as a medium, and he's been independently researching the same stuff I've been independently researching, although I have to say you're a lot more scientific about it than I am. And we've come to all the same conclusions. We're completing each other's sentences. That's been the miracle for me in doing this work. Every single researcher that I talk with about any aspect, and you have the same experience too, it's clear. Everybody is coming to all the same conclusions because the evidence is so remarkably consistent. Isn't that wonderful?
The truth is the truth, no matter what form it arrives in.
Absolutely right. All right, let's talk about quantum mechanics, because this is an area, I mean, until the 21st century, I didn't understand the physics of the afterlife. There was just no way I did, because it's so weird. I mean, in the afterlife, they can be anywhere they want in one instant just by thinking themselves there, and they mind create things, and none of it made any sense until we got quantum mechanics. Was that your experience too?
It is. And the funny thing about quantum physics is I was doing some research for my upcoming book and for some of the lectures that I've been doing. And there was one day I was just ready to pull my hair out. I mean, it was like I was so frustrated, and I was trying to understand this one concept, and I just couldn't. And then all of a sudden, this quote from Heisenberg, one of the great minds in physics, and Heisenberg said, when you think you understand quantum physics, you really don't. And I started laughing. Yeah. And it just made me feel so much better because this is the theory of everything. This is it. And I know that we like to quote Einstein a lot, but Einstein in so many ways was in a class all by himself, one of the world's greatest geniuses. I mean, he's up there with Leonardo, with Heisenberg, with Stephen Hawking. I mean, with Nikola Tesla. Yeah, he's just amazing. And he said that the universe is a wondrous place and my job is to figure out how God did it. And
don't you love that?
Well, people of faith for centuries, and I'm not knocking faith because you said something earlier that you're researching, I'm researching, other people are researching, and yet we're coming up with the same answers.
Yes.
And if you strip away the mythology and the us versus they syndrome that, you know, we're the only one way and the right way, and if you look at the basic philosophical premise of every religion, It's all about what it's summed up in two words: be nice. Okay,
yes, right.
Treat people nicely, but also when there's the discussion of the soul, I think that the great spiritual teachers were enlightened, and they were tuned in to God. You know, the Krishna, Buddha, Moses, Jesus, the great leaders. Because when you look at what they were saying, if you look at the vernacular of the day, they were talking essentially about the same concepts that we are now.
Yes.
It's just that we have modern scientific technology.
Absolutely right.
This. And so when you look at something like the Pentecost, and that's after, you know, Jesus has ascended to heaven, and his disciples and his mother Mary are the ones left behind. And the Pentecost is where they're all in a room together, and all of a sudden they see tongues of fire above each other's heads, and after that they're very enlightened. Well, perhaps they were having a very heavy duty, not perhaps, I'm sure that they were having a very heavy duty metaphysical experience. And for people who do work with auras, and an aura is the basically the energy glow around a person, just like a light bulb has an aura.
Right.
And the crown chakra, the one that sits above the top of your head, has a cylindrical cone-like shape to it. Well, what would you call that in the first century AD? A tongue of fire.
So,
they were describing this phenomenon in the terminology of the day. And now we look back on it, there's the science people, that's all myth. And then there's the faith people that take it literally, and you're wrong because you believe in science. It's like we need to stop this quibbling and realize that the ultimate objective of science is the discovery of the afterlife and of God.
I love that you think that. That's fabulous. You're exactly right. If we can't figure out how it all came into being, what good is any of it? None of it. I mean, yes, it maybe gives us TV sets and things, but it's not feeding our spirits at all. What my favorite quantum physicist, I guess we're all groupies of someone, is Max Planck. I love so much of what he did. And he said, you can't get behind consciousness. Everything we talk about, everything we regard as existing, postulates consciousness. Now, to me, that's a tremendously profound thing for a materialist scientist to have concluded, but he was not afraid to conclude it. And he just kept hoping that people would get a clue. He got rather depressed toward the end of his life that people did not. Well, also, the Nazis murdered his son, but he was bummed out in the end that other scientists didn't seem to understand the implications of their own experiments.
Well, a lot of the great minds tended to have depression issues. This seems to be one of the side effects of genius. And it's probably, you know, there's that old expression, ignorance is bliss, you know.
Well, yeah, a little bit,
that
right.
Even, you know, they just don't have anything to worry about. Although, you know, that's oversimplifying things, because certainly people that aren't genius level IQs often, you know, suffer from depression as well. So I don't mean to generalize, but I think that you brought up a very important point. You said for a materialist scientist like Max Planck, and as much as I love Sir Isaac Newton and Newtonian physics, and what Newton did is he yanked science into the modern era.
Right.
And but then the materialist aspect of if you can't see it and subject it to a scientific test, ergo, it isn't real, it doesn't exist, permeated science until you had Max Planck and Heisenberg and Einstein, that mushroom cloud of genius.
Yes.
That sprouted up between the 1890s and the 1920s. Okay, and therein lies the shift from materialism to this new enlightened theory, because with the understanding of particle mechanics, that everything on a subatomic level is quantum electromagnetic energy, that everything, no matter what it is, from air to the sun itself, to your blood cells, to the ice cream you're eating, is all at its most basic level made of electromagnetic energy.
Yes.
So this takes us into a completely new parameter. And I remember when I was a kid going to Catholic school, you know, the question is, where is God? God is everywhere and in all things. It's like, well, maybe that's a slogan that little Catholic kids are supposed to memorize, or maybe it was a philosopher and a spiritual person's understanding of quantum electromagnetic energy without having the benefit of understanding quantum physics.
Yeah, no, but that's an excellent point. And the thing about spirituality is that I think, and see what you may disagree with me, but I think that there was a reason why we got quantum physics when we did. And at the very same time, we were in the heyday of communication through deep trance mediums. And we got all these researchers actively working with the deep trance mediums and producing their books and so on. I think that was supposed to be the time of the great breakthrough that we are beginning to make only now, because clearly quantum mechanics uprooted the basic Newtonian concepts. And then here at the same time, these researchers were trying to present physicists with this new fact that, hey, we're talking to dead people here. This is kind of big. And I think it was supposed to come together then. But instead, what the gatekeepers did, the journals and the university departments, institute a fundamental dogma of materialism so they wouldn't have to deal with the afterlife. So we had to go through a century of befuddlement, and only now are we beginning, I think, to force them, thanks to you and others who are working in communication. Scientists are going to have to accept the truth when everybody else is talking to the dead people. They're not going to be able to stonewall the truth any longer.
Well, I know, and we have to, I feel compelled to bring up Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
I know I'm going off on a tangent, but Star Trek Next Generation, there was one scene where Data, the android's in a holodeck, and he's playing poker with Sir Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein,
wow,
Stephen Hawking, and Data. And it was hilarious because Newton kept insulting everybody and their intelligence, and Einstein couldn't add up the cards. And, of course, then Hawking won the game. And it's just – that scene is just sheer brilliance. And if anyone – if you watch anything of Star Trek, that's the four-minute scene that you need to watch. But
okay.
Stephen Hawking said that there is no God, there is no afterlife. It's just
right.
A fairy tale for people afraid of the dark. And I admire, I consider him one of my heroes, but respectfully, I disagree with Professor Hawking. And yes, he is one of the greatest minds this planet has ever produced, but also consider the source. In his early 20s, he is struck down by a form of ALS. And he was supposed to be dead within a year, yet,
right,
you know, 40 some odd years, 50 years later, he's still alive. So that in and of itself is a miracle. Of course he's bitter. Of course he's angry. How could he possibly believe in the power of a loving God that would take him and strike him down like this? So
right.
Even an incredible mind such as his is still anchored within a human body and has feelings, because when you start getting people like Dr. Michio Kaku of string theory, who's saying that the afterlife does not violate the laws of physics, and somebody like Nikola Tesla, who said that what one man calls God, another calls the laws of physics.
I love that.
And what these scientists are doing is saying that there appears to be a consistency, there appears to be an organization, and dare I say, not that I'm siding with religious people, there appears to be intelligent design here.
I think there's really no question about that. And I don't think I'm biased in saying that, because it hits you in the face over and over again. There would have to be so many coincidences to come together for us even to exist for more than a micro speck of an instant. And here we have been theoretically here for millions of years. There's just no way. The only way they get around that is to say, well, there are like 8 trillion different possibilities, and this happens to be the one that all worked consistently, and that's why we're in it, and by some miracle. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
by
it doesn't make any
miracle.
Sense.
By some miracle. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Out of the 8 billion possibilities, this right. is the one that happened. I'm sure
it
that's
worked.
A coincidence.
Right.
And you know, it's just because we don't understand something, like I saw a debate between, I won't mention any names, but somebody had an NDE and an NDE researcher against these two scientists, and the scientists went on and on, oh, there's no proof of this, there's no that. It's like, well, that's assuming that science is a stagnant state.
Right. You know, that's another great point. Absolutely right. Right.
Yeah, and somebody was saying to me, "Well, I can't believe that." And I pointed to a microwave oven and I said, "Could somebody have believed that in the year 1900
or 1950 even?"
Or 1950. Yeah. Could someone believe a little box that you put a glass of water in, you press a button and the water is boiling, yet somehow nothing else in there is hot?
You know, this is fun. You and I need to, we're going to have a lot of fun at the conference just talking about this stuff. But I'd like to, you know, go for that $64 billion question. Talk to us about consciousness.
Consciousness is who and what we really are. And every great spiritual leader from ancient India thousands of years ago all the way up to today says that the spirit, the consciousness, pre-exists the soul, pre-exists the body, enters the body, and then leaves the body. Think of it as your body is a car, and you drive the car, and eventually the car breaks down, and when the car no longer runs, you get up out of the car and you move on. Okay, so you are not the car, you are not your body. And this is nothing new, this line of thought. In fact, in the 1620s, it was René Descartes, the great French philosopher, boldly stated, "I think, therefore I am." So it's not that our brain is just a carbon 12 resonator floating in salt water. What it is, it houses the consciousness. It does not create it. And this is where the big divide comes between the materialist scientists and the survival of consciousness researchers. But here's where we have the edge over the materialists. They cannot explain how the brain creates consciousness.
And they never will. Yeah.
And they never will.
They're looking for Jack Parr inside the TV set. That's what they're doing. They're
right. Yeah. Yeah. And the way I'm understanding consciousness, see, in the realms of faith, we call it a spirit or a soul. In the realm of psychology, it is referred to as consciousness. In the realm of physics, it's referred to the quantum electromagnetic field in your brain. And we know that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. So when the body dies, and the brain being part of the body, the energy which is within that brain, the quantum electromagnetic field / soul / consciousness, lives on, and it appears to stay coherent. Now, I know that it does, because as a psychic medium, I've done readings for something like 15,000 people.
Wow.
I've communicated with hundreds of thousands of spirits, and it's
right.
more than just your grandmother is here and she loves you, okay?
Right.
I mean, I was doing a reading for a lady about a week ago, and it was over the phone, and I said, I'm seeing tigers in my mind's eye. And she goes, well, that's interesting. She goes, I'm the docent of a zoo, and I was just at the tiger cage yesterday, okay? And I said, well, something about one of the giraffes is pregnant. She goes, oh, my God. She goes, one of our giraffes, the female's pregnant. It's a secret. Nobody's supposed to know. Well, apparently the spirit of her mother did know and transmitted that information to me. Okay?
Wow, how evidential that is.
Yeah. So people go, you're cold reading. Really? A pregnant giraffe?
Yeah,
you
right.
Know? I mean, if you throw out like, oh, did you have a puppy? I mean, everyone's had a puppy.
Right,
but how many
right.
people have a pregnant giraffe?
That's
you know,
funny.
So it's like – and that's the downside of being a medium is you have to put up with the religious fanatics who are clinging to Bronze Age concepts as defining their understanding of life in the universe, and the narrow-minded cynics who don't even deserve or much less have earned the title of skeptic, because a skeptic is an open-minded person.
Exactly. Yes.
who is wanting evidence to be presented to them to persuade them, as opposed to, I'm a skeptic, I don't believe it, my mind is closed. No, that's not a skeptic. That is a cynic and a closed-minded person. So consciousness is an extremely elusive thing, yet a very simple thing. It is who we are, and it is a coherent electromagnetic field, which is why in paranormal investigations, when spirits are initially spotted, they appear to be a ball of light.
Yes.
There
yes.
you go. There's
yes.
your electromagnetic
we
field.
We just had the Orb Whisperer on, and we talked about that very thing. That's how people will appear if they're not taking on a body or the look of a body. See how it all fits together? Isn't this marvelous?
It does. It's amazing.
So what do you want people most to know? That you're teaching. What insight that you would you want to them to take away from our conversation?
Five things. God exists. Number two, heaven, the other side, the afterlife, whatever you want to call it, the realm beyond this world exists. Three, that our souls, our consciousness, is an immortal living being. Fourth, we can communicate with souls. And fifth, we will be reunited with our loved ones in the light, in the
yes.
light that is God, in the light that is the afterlife. And I know a lot of people get very, you know, when I start talking about God, and there's this concept that God is this neurotic white guy sitting on a throne with a scepter who gets all bent out of shape.
Yes.
And if you worship false gods or don't tithe 10%. But see, that's a Michelangelo painting. That isn't
right.
God.
That's
and,
right.
And the problem is our concept of God has been thwarted by Dante's Inferno and Divine Comedy, and also by books written by men for men back in the Bronze and Iron Age, which people say is the truth, and you have to believe this or you're going to a hell, which of course does not exist.
Doesn't exist.
What,
right.
God is energy. God is the energy that binds and connects all of us. God is the quantum electromagnetic particles that everything is. And I'm going to go a step further, and I believe that all of this intelligence, all of this life, all of this electromagnetic energy from you know, the distant galaxies beyond ours to the drop of water, you know, on a flower outside of our window, there is an intelligence that runs through all of this.
Yes, I think
that is
so important. What a wonderful insight. Thank you for sharing that. And now, do you take people for readings still, or are you not taking?
Oh, I do. The vast majority of the readings that I do are by telephone, because my clientele is worldwide, and folks say, well, how
right.
can you do this by phone? Quantum electromagnetic energy travels at the speed of light. just right. like the radio show that you're all listening to now is being beamed to you through a satellite network and energy being converted from auditory to electronic yeah. to microwave to radio wave and then to sound wave energy. So that is quite possible. And if people want to find me and where I'm going to be speaking, please visit evidenceofeternity.com. It's the name of my last book, Evidence of Eternity.
.com. And can they contact you through that website?
Yes, and they can set up a reading session. They can find out where I'll be. I'm going to be at the Unity of Tucson on September 12th, and just a few days later at the Afterlife Research Education Institute Symposium in Scottsdale,
yeah,
which
we're
will
gonna
also
have
be
fun.
Featuring our host, Roberta Grimes.
We're going to have a ball. I can't wait. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been wonderful, Mark. I've loved talking to you, and we're going to have a lot of fun at the symposium, you and I. So, everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm really thrilled you could be with us today because I think Mark is an especially wonderful guest, and I'd love talking to him about this stuff. Please never forget that you are a powerful eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means, you're nothing in your life is going to be the same. It transforms us in a wonderful way. Next week, our guest all the way from Portugal will be Anabela Cardoso. She's a Portuguese diplomat. I've wanted her on for so long. You've got to meet this woman. She's one of the leading experts on electronic communication with those we used to think were dead. And she has a new book just out. It's called Electronic Contact with the Dead. What do the voices tell us? You can't miss this. And this week, we've been sharing time with Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Mark never ceases to amaze me. He's always got something up his sleeve. And I'm amazed he still takes clients. So if you're looking for a terrific medium, you can't possibly do better than Mark. And again, if you'd like to meet him and hear him talk and know more about him, you can. It's not too late. If you're hearing this right away, it's not too late. Come and join us in Scottsdale in September. Go to afterlifestudies.org. Now, as you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. You can find them, of course, in bookstores if you're lucky, or, of course, on Amazon, and they're available as audiobooks and in 34 languages worldwide. If you want to talk about any of my books or if you want to talk about anything at all, you can always contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. It could take a few days now, but I answer every email. Just make sure you give me your correct email address. Past episodes of Seek Reality are on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app that people seem to love. You can find it for free on the iTunes store. And, of course, earlier episodes are available from our terrific friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio. If you ever wonder where you can find me, just go to robertagrimes.com and click on the Seek Reality Radio tab. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being and you are infinitely loved.